Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In Louisiana, an inmate is killed in a prison fight at Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. In Ohio, a customer pulls a gun at a Burger King after he got offended over the offering of a discount. And new details in a Virginia murder involving a nanny. These stories and more coming at you today, Monday, April 8th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. April 8th.
Oh, that's my freedom day.
Folks, you got one more week to file them taxes.
Oh, gosh.
I can't believe we are there already. Wow.
Yep. Crazy. I'll keep my Freedom Day story to myself. April 8th, always a special day for me. Happy, happy day. But I'm not going to tell you about it.
Every year?
Why not?
Yeah, I celebrated. It was a great victory that I had in my life.
God, you can't share it?
I'll share it. It was the day I left my previous wife.
Oh, I get it. Freedom. That makes sense then.
Freedom. And so I did. And that was a personal victory for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. And that was a true crime time for Freedom Day.
Oh. All right. And we'll go straight to Louisiana's State Penitentiary at Angola. What do we know a little bit about that place?
Bloody Angola.
Well, they've had a little bit of a problem there at Angola, and it was a little bit bloody over the weekend. Law enforcement is investigating after a fight between four inmates at Louisiana State Penitentiary turned deadly. The Louisiana Department of Public Safety and Corrections identified the inmate who died as Robert Clark Jr. He was 45. According to officials, correctional officers responded to a fight between Clark and three other inmates at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. The officers were able to regain control of the situation, and staff immediately began treatment on Clark. Unfortunately, he died a short time later. Officials said Clark was serving a life sentence for the murder of fellow inmate Dolan Franklin in 2018. That's interesting. So you're serving a life sentence for killing an inmate and you get killed by other inmates. He was initially in prison for serving a 75-year sentence for armed robbery in Bossier Parish. An autopsy will be performed this week and possible criminal charges are pending the outcome of the investigation and the autopsy.
There you go.
He was serving 75 years
for an armed robbery in Bossier. And then apparently like killed another inmate.
Seemed like a long sentence for armed robbery.
It goes up to 99 years.
Really? For armed robbery.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Don't be armed robbing the state of Louisiana.
Wow.
Well, and then, you know, it's just ironic that he killed a prisoner in prison. And so he gets a life sentence for that. Right. And now he's killed. It was probably retaliation. I mean, I'm guessing, but it might have been
six years later, maybe.
Could be.
Yep.
All those guys are in there for life, just about.
Yep.
So, there you have it.
There you have it.
Okay.
My dad was telling me a story about back in the day when he was assistant prosecutor. And my grandfather was the DA in West Feliciana, where all the Angola, any crime that happens in Angola, they prosecute them in West Feliciana court system. And he said back in the day, they have like five of them come in at a time for murder trials, and they do all five murder trials in one day. It's like they're just running them through life, because they're already down for life or, you know, like hundreds of years or whatever. And I guess there's no sympathy.
None.
That was due process.
Yeah, I remember talking like in the 50s and 60s, okay. Like that. Different time.
All right. Well, I don't know where I was last year when this case broke or how we somehow missed it, but I have no recollection of us covering it. And it's such a screwed up story. I can't imagine that we wouldn't have. But new revelations have come to light this week in a Virginia murder case. Jim, oh, my God.
We have some breaking news.
Yes, Jim is showing me some umbilical cord cookies or – Are those
they were actually, and it was placenta. It was probably placenta I was thinking of.
It's placenta cookies.
Placenta cookies.
Oh, my God.
Get that with a glass of milk.
I'm a hard no on that. Thank you, though. Yeah, I'm a hard no on
Woody?
That.
I can't believe they don't have any kind of restrictions on eating human body parts, or not body parts, but anything that comes out. I guess they don't have any.
They figure we don't need them because people have enough turds, common sense not to be eating umbilical cords.
Yeah, but I guess people eat.
Anyway, back to my story.
Okay. Yeah, that was a carryover from Friday show, y'all.
New revelations came to light this week in a Virginia murder case in which a family's au pair who was having an affair with the husband.
That means
nanny.
Nanny.
Rich people speak for nanny.
Rich people ease. Speak ease.
Okay, we're going to try this one more time. New revelations came to light this week in a Virginia murder case in which a family's nanny, who was having an affair with the husband, was charged with fatally shooting another man moments after that man allegedly stabbed the cheating spouse's wife. Okay, that's a lot. So let's kind of unpack that. This mysterious case began more than a year ago when Christine Banfield, 37, was fatally stabbed by Joseph Ryan. Ryan had arrived at her Herndon, Virginia home after he was solicited from a sexual fetish website. So supposedly this Christine Banfield arranges online to have this guy Ryan come to her home for some kind of sexual fetish deal that they've done. At least that's the story according to Banfield's husband, whose name is Brendan, and his apparent nanny mistress, whose name is Juliana Perez Megales. Ryan, the 39-year-old alleged fetish dude, was then shot by both the husband, Brendan, and the nanny, Megales, according to authorities. So Brendan Banfield, who is actually an IRS criminal investigator, and Megales saw Ryan, who was fully clothed, hold a knife to a naked Christine Banfield, according to prosecutors. Brendan told a 911 dispatcher he shot Ryan with his service weapon when Ryan started stabbing Christine Banfield. And then Megales, who was 23 at the time, told authorities she then shot Ryan while he was on the ground after she retrieved another gun Brendan told her to get from a different room in the house. Officials said Megales' gunshot proved to be the fatal one. So last October, the nanny was arrested and charged with the murder of Ryan the fetish dude, and no one has been charged in the death of Banfield since she was allegedly murdered by the dead fetish dude. But prosecutors have hinted for a while that there might be more to this story. So Fairfax County Assistant Attorney Kelsey Gill said that Megales and Brendan began an affair several months before the deadly shooting. Last Monday, during a preliminary hearing, it was revealed that Megales and Brendan, who continued their relationship following the deaths, did a little bit of target practice at a shooting range less than 2 weeks before the Christine Banfield and Ryan deaths. Prosecutors provided business records to back up the claim and said that Brendan Banfield bought a Glock pistol from that very same range on January 28th of 2023. That same Glock became Megley's weapon of choice when she shot Ryan, according to prosecutors. Commonwealth Assistant Attorney Eric Klingon said in court that the gun was used to, quote, eliminate the only living witness. Ryan arrived at the house after he was asked to come over through a website that caters to sexual fetishes. Assistant Attorney Gill said this happened back in December, and the account was set up on Christine Banfield's laptop, but prosecutors have not confirmed who was behind the online profile. Christine Banfield bought tickets for Megales to take the Banfield's young daughter to the zoo around the time that this fetish guy came over, according to Megalese's defense lawyer. Megalese told authorities she spotted Ryan going into the house as she was leaving for the zoo and called Brendan Banfield to return home. She supposedly waited for Brendan, and then they entered the house together, which is when they discovered Ryan and Banfield in the bedroom. Gill, the Commonwealth attorney, previously questioned why Brendan Banfield would only shoot at Ryan after he stabbed his wife several times, and if Brendan really directed Megalese to grab the other gun. That's according to a report in the Washington Post. The nanny's lawyer has claimed his client acted in self-defense. Okay, so here we have an IRS investigator. He's a white-collar crime guy, but likely knows a thing or two about murder investigations, I would guess. You could see how Brendan might be predisposed to plan out a fetish session gone bad where he and his nanny mistress end up killing the bad guy and leaving no witnesses to what actually happened. The gun range visit and the Glock were kind of sloppy on his end, but they don't really prove anything. I don't know. This one is pretty juicy.
What was the fetish?
Don't know.
I bet it was bondage.
Maybe so. And yeah, people can't testify.
That's right. Dead men tell no tales.
Go through that lengthy story of a murder, and the detective in here's question is, what was the fetish?
Yep. It's true.
My God.
But, I mean, you may have it incorrect.
Okay.
And there may not be a murder story other than the guy was stabbing.
Okay. The there may not. But just based upon that, your spidey senses. If you're working this case, you're thinking these two.
Yeah. But thinking something and being able to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt are two different things.
Yeah.
The, Miss Barbara Blunt's case that I've been working for years, and I absolutely, and I'm not going to say it, and I never would. Know in my head what happened, but being able to prove it is a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah.
Y'all call any tips on that, please. Continue to call them in. Got a really good one this week.
Mm. Yep.
Be afraid.
Well, this trial's got to happen. Yeah, well, so let's see what they what they've actually found.
It'd be interesting.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house, and when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard, and when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Save big on brunch for Mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, we're going to Ohio.
Ohio.
Buckeye. I haven't been there in a little while. And a Burger King customer in Ohio was caught on camera pointing a gun at a drive-thru employee who was trying to give him a discount.
There you go.
Police in Willowick are still searching for the disgruntled customer. They haven't caught him as of yet. The incident happened Sunday morning at around 9 a.m. at the Burger King. The suspect can be seen on surveillance video getting out of his car and pointing a gun at 38-year-old Howard Vernon, who was working the drive-thru. Vernon said he was taking the customer's order, which was two sausage, egg, and cheese croissants, a sausage biscuit, and hash browns. And the order came out to around $8. He was
that's pretty reasonable.
Pretty reasonable.
I get one sausage muffin and a medium frappe, and it's $11.
Well, Ohio's got good prices. Well,
they got good prices.
So he was like, my order can't be right. It should be like $11.
Right.
So actually, that sounds a little more reasonable.
All that stuff, yeah.
And this is the guy who had the gun pointed at him, I'm quoting. And I'm like trying to explain to him that we had a promotion going on, and it's like cheaper. And he starts cussing and getting all loud. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why you want to pay more money.
Right.
From Vernon. Vernon said after the argument, the customer speeds off. Then a minute later, he pulls back around the drive-thru window as Vernon was helping another customer. And he pulls out a gun. Vernon said the man threatened to kill him and called him a racial slur. To know that somebody would do something like that just because I'm trying to give you a better deal and just flip out, it's pretty scary, he said. As a matter of fact, he hadn't been back at the Burger King since that incident. I can't say I blame him. At the end of the day, it was about some bread and sausage sandwiches at 9 o'clock in the morning on Easter. And you're so mad, you're going to put a gun in somebody's face.
You're getting a discount.
I don't know why people are so angry out there. They still haven't caught this guy, but if you're in Ohio listening to us, he's driving a gray Honda sedan and was driving a gray Honda sedan at that time.
What's that movie with the guy that played in Fatal Attraction where he just lost his Jesus that whole day and was killing all the way through? Michael Douglas,
yeah.
I was out there in California somewhere. He had started out having a bad day and it was just... ended up killing people. Come on.
That's a weird. Yeah.
They were giving him a discount.
Yeah.
I get it.
Is it possible he didn't know how to count? You know, that he thought eight was more than 11? Is that possible? How could that possibly trigger you? The guy should have just let him pay $11.
Exactly. Could have pocketed $3.
Wow.
That's it. Just don't tell the manager.
Wow.
Pay cash.
Okay. So there has been a tremendous global surge in contract killings.
Rentman.com.
Well, I don't know that old Guido's seeing a lot of this money, but according to a new global study, more than 3,000 people have died at the hands of paid hitmen or hit people over the last couple of years. The two countries that have the highest numbers in the study?
Russia.
The United States, and South Africa.
I would never thought that.
Assassins have boasted of carrying out dozens of executions with fees charged as low as $145, according to a National Geographic documentary investigation.
You get two cases of beer for that.
$145.
You can't get a keg of beer for that.
The Nat Geo documentary is hosted by award-winning journalist Mariana Van Zeller.
She's good.
Yeah, she is. I like her.
Yeah.
The doc is called Trafficked, and it premiered on April 2nd. In the doc, Van Zeller goes inside the dark world of contract killers.
That chick's got balls.
Yeah, she does. She's been in the jungle and everything. Yeah,
all kinds of shit.
She began her research after meeting a hitman in L.A. Her follow-up inquiries took her to the outskirts of Johannesburg in South Africa, where she met a college graduate who claims to have killed almost 30 people. So this guy was a contract killer as a side hustle.
Yeah,
wasn't driving an Uber.
140 in South Africa goes a lot further than it does here.
Yeah. This hitman named Jojo told her, when there is no money coming in, then you mix with people selling drugs. You become a hitman for the person selling drugs. Logical, I guess.
Sicario.
Happened to me.
As long as there's money, we don't care. There's always killing that needs to be done, whether it's drugs, taxis, even politics now. It's busy constantly. People need to die. Business is good. You either die crying or you die fighting. Most of the time, it makes me feel better because I know the people I'm going after are also bad people. That's quite a philosophy. This guy, Jojo, told Van Zeller that he averages – so he's doing quite better than the 145. He's averaging $1,250 per killing. Van Zeller had a scare early on in her filming when an assassin she was interviewing in L.A. took a semi-automatic Glock from his pocket and threatened her and her film crew with it. The assassin is captured on tape, warning that if this is a setup, I can easily take all of you out right now. So this guy thought they were setting him up for an arrest. The disguised hitman is also heard admitting, yes, I kill people. I don't hesitate. No questions asked. It's never easy, but it always gets done. The Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime, GTOC. Mm. Bet you never heard of GTOC.
Sounds like a car.
Says that
sports car.
Says
Pontiac.
Says that 2,700 people were assassinated worldwide back in 2019 and 2020. Mm-hmm. We know that's up to 3,000 the last couple of years.
So when's they call it? How do they get those numbers?
More than 1,000 of those contract killings are thought to have been carried out in South Africa over the past few years, with prime targets including politicians, business leaders, and campaigners. In an interview with the British paper The Sun, Van Zeller said, I have spent a lot of time surrounded by drug dealers, traffickers, smugglers, and scammers, but this is a whole nother level. They are committing the worst of the worst crimes. They're taking away somebody else's life. It's really, truly the most horrific crime, and it's happening in every country in the world. GTOC says employing hitmen to carry out assassination of prominent figures is not a new phenomenon. All over the world, thousands of people are assassinated yearly in silence. In many countries, assassinations have become a daily occurrence. Assassinations are frequently used by criminal networks to achieve their political, economic, and criminal interests, of course. They enable criminal actors to maintain control over communities, allowing them to take over lucrative markets or infiltrate public institutions. They are also a way of silencing those who take a stand and threaten to challenge the status quo, or those who investigate and dismantle criminal activities. So the bad guys be killing a lot of people.
Making a buck.
That's a big number.
There's probably a lot more than that, bro. Those are the only ones that confess to it. Or got busted
right before.
I mean,
you
wouldn't catch me. I might be a hitman. You just don't know it.
Yeah, you never know.
You know what?
You wouldn't work for those wages. I mean,
I wouldn't work for those wages because
dollar hitman. So,
but if Swim is a hitman, you never know. You know it. Prisons are full of dummies.
Yep.
Maybe they get that guy from the Burger King drive-thru to be a hitman, and you could offer him $2,000, and he'd say, "No, I only pay me $1,000." Because he doesn't want
to.
Get him to pay you more money.
Yeah.
You know, he's from South Africa. Charlize Theron.
She is. So is that nut job who was killing people in Alaska that we had on Thursday's episode.
Yes, it was. Just listen to it.
Well, we're going to get back into the United States, and we're going to go to Texas, and we're going to go specifically to Houston. We have a pretty big listenership there in Houston.
We do a lot of stores in Houston. We had the story about the mom with the books. It was close to Houston last week.
Yeah. Well, we're going to tell you about a lawn care worker who used a weed whacker.
Oh, God.
I'm going to cut my grass this weekend, but I don't like to weed eat.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, he used it to fend off an attacker in an incident police say involved a man suspected in a home robbery in Houston. Neighbors said the older landscaper, who was not identified, helps keep multiple lawns looking good in that neighborhood. He's a grass cutter guy. You know, he cuts our grass. Edna Mignogna was quoted as saying that, and she was among those surprised he was targeted while on the job last Friday afternoon, which was caught on camera. For the amount of time he's been with us, that he's never had that happen, she said. In the video, you see the victim walk into the street after spotting suspects at his truck. He then chucks his weed whacker at their vehicles as it swerves toward him. One suspect, identified as 23-year-old Gerald Alexander, falls onto the street from the open door. The landscaper is seen whacking. This is the way it's written. The landscaper is seen whacking Alexander during a standoff while Mignogna's brother is on the phone with the police after running outside himself. Alexander appears to be having a hard time staying on his feet in the video, but eventually runs back to the red sedan he fell from before it speeds away. He was trying to protect his property and in the course of it did what his instincts told him to do, that from the police. In addition to the surveillance video, Herman's office shared images of Alexander and two accomplices at a Methodist church where Alexander was arrested after seeking treatment. He appears pretty banged up in his booking photo. We're starting to see more and more violent crimes such as this because not only is this theft, but during the commission of this theft, there were firearms brandished at the complainant, which ultimately made him back off. Neighbors said the landscaper should be able to earn an honest living without fearing that. It's a hard-earned money, and that's not right. Police said Alexander is charged with aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon. Wow. But a man fought back with his weed whacker.
Yeah. What the hell were they trying to steal? They're in a sedan, not a truck?
Just trying to rob him.
We're going to go north of the border up into Canada. And because of the overwhelming response from the Shohei Ohtani story I shared the other day, people want more and more sports stories. So I got another sports betting scandal for them. This one is rocking the sports world. Either of you guys ever heard of Jontay Porter?
Negative.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of him either, but he's a bit player. He's not a starter for the Toronto Raptors, the NBA team up in Toronto. But Porter doesn't get a lot of minutes, but he scores about 4 points a game or so. Since you guys are more familiar with sports betting than sports, I know you'll be able to answer the next question, which is, do you know what a prop bet is?
Mm-hmm. Bet on something unusual. Not unusual.
Yeah. Like
something besides a point.
How many times do they show Taylor Swift? That kind of thing.
Exactly. Who's going to win the coin toss, stuff like that. But prop bets and Jontay Porter are kind of the center of the story. Jontay Porter has been interested in sports wagering for a number of years, according to resurfaced social media posts of his. So back when he was in college, he was a very active, and back even before that, very active on some of these sites and some of these handicapping shows and things like that, and did a lot of posting of gambling victories, et cetera. So Porter is currently being investigated by the NBA over suspicious gambling activity surrounding two recent games. The Toronto Raptors forward made early exits from both the January 26th game against the LA Clippers and the March 20th game against the Sacramento Kings. In the Clippers game, Porter said that he had an eye injury, that someone had poked him in the eye during when he went up for a rebound or something. And then in the Kings game, he just said that he felt ill. As a result, in both of those games, Porter fell well short of his normal 4 points a game average. And so if the prop wager line was that Porter would get 4 points and you could bet that he'd get more or he'd get less, then that game he got far less because he barely played because of these injuries. So Porter's underperformance led to major payouts on several bets that are now under suspicion. People were trying to do whatever they could to bet Jontae Porter prop bets against the Clippers. That's an industry source told ESPN that. And then just a few days ago, the same thing. We had a bunch of people trying to bet the under for more. Porter, who was held out of last Sunday's game for personal reasons, has not been suspended yet by the NBA, nor has he been charged yet. But as seen in several of those posts that resurfaced, the 23-year-old apparently has a long-held interest in sports gambling. So this guy's a bit player who's gone back and forth between the G League, which is NBA's minor league, and the NBA. So he makes the league minimum. He's actually the brother of Michael Porter Jr., who is a star player for Denver, and Michael makes a ton of money while his brother has made a couple million dollars in his entire career. These particular bets, stick out like a sore thumb that went on those two nights for him to score underneath that four point line. There were a bunch of bets that were $10,000. And $20,000 or more. That's incredibly rare for that to happen. For that to happen on both of these nights, the exact nights that he pulls himself out of the game for injuries, it's a cause for great suspicion. And then when you find out that the guy's got a history of betting on games and handicapping games, this one doesn't look good for Mr. Porter.
His career is over.
And, you know, since that story broke, I don't know if y'all are aware, but do you know the Louisiana Gaming Commission yesterday made it illegal to do prop bets in Louisiana, in the state of Louisiana?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think it's a direct relation to that issue.
Wait a minute. Did they really?
Yeah.
I'm going to try to make one right
now. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That ruins my whole. I mean, I cleaned up last weekend on, because that's all I do is parlays with prop bets on in fringe sports, because that's where the lines are the worst. They do the least bit of research on it. The money doesn't fly as heavily, but you can do really, really well there.
Well, it goes into effect August 1st of 2024.
I was going to say, because I was trying to bet one now.
And now it doesn't affect all, but it says Louisiana is banning licensed sports books in the state from offering prop bets on college athletes. So apparently, maybe if you're in professional sports, you're going to be okay. I mean, you're okay to bet on that, but headline here says no more college player prop bets announced by Louisiana Gaming Control Board.
You know, that's a good decision. The historically where there have been point shaving scams and things like that, they've occurred at the college level.
Yeah.
It's lower profile, easier to kind of pull it off in the world of NIL and in the world of legalized gambling. It's these players like the Jontae Porters that are fringe players on teams that you still have the ability to bet. And if it's a fringe player on a team, chances are they're not getting any NIL money. They might be jealous of that other person on the team who's making millions of dollars doing it. And it's probably smart. It maybe relates to the story we just told a little bit, or maybe there's some evidence that things similar to what was going on or what's allegedly gone on with Jontae Porter was happening in the college ranks. But I think it's good they did that, but it makes me angry because I love doing those prop bets, parlays on prop bets.
Let's go to California. And this is going to be a WTF segment, which we don't have a sound for, but when I read this, I was definitely like, WTF. An accused jewelry store burglar was arrested after he was found covered in debris in California. Deputies arrived at a jewelry store after a burglary alarm went off. They found the utility room door had been pried open, San Bernardino County Sheriff's Office said. They also found a large hole that had been cut to get inside the store. Now, video surveillance showed a man who was in shorts and an Under Armour sweatshirt, so at least he had good taste, right? Pulling a wagon on the side of the business. The same man was also seen using a saw to try to cut the store's front door lock. Now, while deputies were searching the area, they said they spotted a man peering around the corner from a restaurant across the street. The man tried to ride away on a bicycle, but was stopped by deputies. That's amazing. They could catch him. The man was wearing the same clothing as the subject in the surveillance video and was covered in drywall debris and insulation, similar to materials from the hole inside the store's utility room. After searching the area, they found a red wagon with power tools, pry bars, and a saw, and it was determined that he was attempting to actually tunnel in to that jewelry store.
I'm going to tell you why he's an idiot.
Why?
Because one of my former careers, I had nine states of the top jewelry store in the state. It's a chain. They're like in Louisiana, the only one certified to sell Rolexes. Mm-hmm. But the jewelry association in the insurance guidelines for its companies, they have to lock up 80% of the merchandise in the vault at night.
Really?
Yep. So they can break in. They ain't getting dick.
Yeah. You ain't getting in that vault.
Nope. Nope. You wouldn't get in one of the vaults I had set up for them.
Yeah. So. Interesting.
Yep.
Well, there you go. There well, you go. When I read that, I was like, WTF, fuck? Tunneling into jewelry stores. Yes, that indeed. Is your...
He wasn't really prepared to get away.
Yeah, right.
WTF
for today. Your getaway vehicle is a Schwinn.
Yeah.
You know, you're not...
I thought that as well.
You're not in great that shape. Was
a strange getaway vehicle.
Strange. Just like... Ooh, yeah. This Kinky Crimes for Monday. Oh, and this one... Really, really interesting. A lot of it strange. All right, so let's go to the courtroom. I always told y'all courtrooms are the best.
Best show on earth.
Right. And this in Bronx, a family court judge took herself off a child custody case after the mom involved publicly accused the judge of coming on to her via swingers app.
Oh, right? Really now?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Judge Cynthia Lopez, 47 years old, announced her recusal Monday during a brief virtual teleconference with parent Sydney Sutherland's attorney. The shocking turn of events came last week. Sutherland claims when a woman by the name of Cynthia reached out to her on ThreeFun. I guess that's another
ThreeFun.
Another one of these fuck apps. On ThreeFun, which is the leading app for sexually free swingers. I never heard of it.
Huh.
Neither have I.
Is that THR or the number three?
The number three. Okay. And fun. Capital F.
Got it.
GM, the woman wrote in a message. I guess that stands for good morning, right? Just before 8 a.m. on January 24th, using slang for good morning. A.M. Cynthia, how are you? Sutherland, who went by the name Cynthia on the app, but used her real photo, provided a screenshot of the alleged message to the media along with the sender's profile, which shows a photo of a brown-haired woman clad only in black heels and a black negligee sitting cross-legged on a couch. And we have the photo.
Yes.
The sender was not shy about what she was looking for, stating in her public profile, "We are a full SWAT couple looking to have some hot, sexy fun with other full SWAT couples and single ladies," right?
Do y'all know what that means, full SWAT?
I think both partners get it on with the other partners.
Yeah.
All right, so we love thick girls just as much as we love petite girls, exclamation. At the end of the day, it's all about personality. Guys should be stocky.
It's all about personality. Right.
Guys should be stocky. And I, the female, prefer males to be somewhat endowed.
Hey, I can't blame you for that. Who
doesn't? Sutherland didn't mince words in her reply. "Bitch, you know who the fuck I am," Sutherland recalled saying. The senator promptly blocked her, but not before Sutherland said she managed to snap images of the initial exchange and profile.
Uh-oh.
"I plan to file a complaint," Sutherland added, and speculated that Judge Lopez was slow walking her custody case because she was trying to hook up. "She just wanted to see me. There was some kind of attraction, and I'm disturbed by that. I was fighting for my kids for 2 years, and you're giving me a hard time because of some sexual attraction?"
she said. Sutherland made her gripe public in a video on TikTok and X 2 days after allegedly receiving the initial, come on, POV. You're currently going to family court, and the judge, who acts like she hates you, inboxes you on a swingers dating app a week before the next court date.
Now, wait, hold on. I got a question about this. I got a question.
This is interesting.
So the other lady, the lady that is the one that the judge was hitting on.
Yes.
Now, she's on the app, too.
Yes.
So, but she's acting like she's all offended. Now, hold up. You on the app, too.
Yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean?
There's all kinds of stuff.
Like, number don't one, act like you're holier than thou now.
Swinger app, right? The, I think, you know, she's like, holy fuck, this is the judge.
Yeah.
I've been fighting for 2 years for my kids, probably for obvious reasons, but I've been fighting for 2 years for my kids, and this was just hitting me up. I would have to believe the judge was just trolling through the app and saw.
Yeah, she didn't know. Yeah, I don't think she knew that was her. Right.
She might get a bite from.
Yeah. Heels. Heels on.
And endowed.
We like them. And she likes them endowed. Yes. And a great personality.
And there's your kinky crimes for Monday.
Ooh, that was a good one.
That was a good one. Really, really good one, Jimbo.
Banjos, please. Yes, sirree. Today's dumb criminal, well, his name is Jim.
Really?
But this Jim is 77 years old.
Oh, it's not me.
You're off the hook.
I'm off the hook.
This Jim is very dumb. This Jim is very funny. This Jim was on TikTok. And here's what Jim sounded like on TikTok when three cops came to visit him.
Nice right there. It's a 77-year-old male, apparently. He's upstairs in his apartment.
All right. I surrender.
You ain't got no choice.
Just what are you looking for?
Just making sure you don't have any other weapons on you, sir.
What kind of weapon am I supposed to have?
I don't know, sir.
Well, did you find any weapons?
No, sir, I sure didn't.
Well, better luck next time.
We found one outside, though.
Huh?
We found one outside.
What kind of weapon up there? I don't know how it got there. Don't ask me.
Okay, why'd you go there with a knife?
To defend myself.
Well, you can't do that, Jim. Okay.
Oh, goody two shoes for you.
Okay. All right, Jim. We need you to stand up, okay?
How can I stand up?
We'll help you.
We're going to help you, Jim.
What do I look like? A helicopter somewhere that can hover in midair?
Have you used any narcotics tonight?
Yeah.
What'd you use?
LSD, PCP, heroin, cocaine. What else you want to know?
I've got to give it to old Jim. He wasn't taking any shit from those cops. It's hard to believe a 77-year-old man could be that functional with LSD, PCP, heroin, and cocaine all in his system. But Jim has a strong constitution. Jim will have plenty of time to learn about the constitution and even take up a musical instrument like the banjo where he's going. Jim, you're a dummy. You're funny, but you're a dummy.
Dumb Jim.
Dum dum.
Dum dum.
Funny.
He's a dum dum.
Dum dum dum.
Extended version,
right,
of the banjos today. How about that?
Dumb Jim.
All right, Woody Overton, what you think?
I'm guessing it's probably raining today and there'll be no solar eclipse or whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's
solar,
right.
Not winter.
It's solar.
Yeah. No. The Mother Nature got the memo and realized that she had to blow these clouds out of here, and so we're gonna have our eclipse.
Yeah.
Got to check my ticket from Saturday night to see if I'm a billionaire.
Yeah.
I shouldn't take for granted that I'm not. I need to check that.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing on my list. I'm gonna do the eclipse and
ticket. I thought about that before. If I ever looked and like had the winning numbers, you know, I'd go probably in the middle of the woods like I am now, but I'd just break out all my firearms and I would just sit there.
Naked?
Maybe naked.
Yeah.
But I would drink lots of alcohol and wait for the lottery store to open on Monday. You would have to literally kill me to get that ticket. Hey, let me tell you a real funny story that just popped in my head. So when I worked in corrections,
in a Powerball for a sergeant in the state of Louisiana. They had this guy, you know, sergeants on the dorms, they go back and they had no access other than the telephone, right, to any outside, no TV or none of that bullshit, no radio, nothing like that. So one of the guys, they had roll call every night, and one of the guys that was on roving security knew this correction officer bought a ticket every Saturday night, and it was like $5 million or something. And so he had asked him, he just said, "Hey, man, you got your ticket like you normally do?" He said, yeah, you got it right here. So let me see it. He looked at it real quick and gave it back to him and memorized one of the lines of the numbers. And so after the drawing, he calls the dorm. He says, "Hey, man, did you get the one in numbers?" And he said, "No, I hadn't got them yet." And he said, "Well, here they are." And he gave them his own number back, right? Mm. Well, the guy, he was busy. So, and he actually stayed at the bachelor quarters at the prison, when he worked his 2-1, 2-off, right. He'd go home. So it was Sunday morning, and the guy gets off work from the dorm, goes to the bachelor quarters, and all he's got is his prison uniform, right? That didn't bring any other clothes because all he's doing is sleeping and going back to work. So he's getting undressed, gets into bed, gets ready to go to sleep, and says, "Oh, let me check my numbers." So he reaches over. There was no internet and shit back then, right?
Right.
So he reaches over, and he pulled out the numbers that he wrote down that the guy got his ticket roll call. Fucking fake numbers, right?
Right.
So he said he read it, and he was like, what? And he was like, I fucking won. And he got up. He didn't have any other clothes, so he cuts his prison uniform pants off, cuts the sleeves off his prison shirt, wrote "fuck you" on the wall in bachelor quarters, and hauled ass out of the prison. Well, he stops the first convenience store he comes to, runs in there like that, which everybody knows that uniform in that town. And the girl's like, "What the hell are you doing?" He said, I won. I won the Powerball." And she's like, "Motherfucker, nobody won the Powerball last night." He said, "Yeah, I did." And he gave her the ticket. And she looked at it. She said, "This isn't a win ticket." And then he thought she was trying to steal his ticket. So he snatched the ticket back from her and ran out the store. And he goes down the street to another store that was open. And he went in and was like, "You got the print out for the tickets for Powerball last night?" And she gave it to him. And he realized he had been had.
That's another dumb.
That's a 1991 story.
That is a cruel.
Wow.
Yeah. That is a cruel practical joke.
Yeah. Funny as fuck there.
Poor guy. Was he able to return the boat and the cars that he had?
No. He had to first go back to the bachelor quarters and get "fuck you" off the wall and all that. Borrow a uniform to go back to work that night.
Yeah. Hope nobody tells.
I didn't say it.
All right. Well, any final thoughts?
No, that's it.
All right.
I just had to tell that final story, I guess.
Mike, prop bets suck.
That's a good way to end. Yeah, we got the national championship game tonight, so one more chance to make some prop bets. See how that goes.
That's it.
Yep.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglets.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.